Jump shot. It's good. Zach Randolph does it again. 3-point game. They've got to go for three now. No choice. Conley for three. Ties it up.
First team all defense. First team all defense.
Here's Gasol from outside. Tony Allen. Shot clock at four. Randolph puts it up. Puts it in.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Grizzlies Tuesday edition of the show today. Amari Sankofa on the show with us as always. But first, before we get to Amari, make sure you go subscribe to the show and every podcast platform, whatever you choose. It's out there, no matter what you have, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, any of those things, go to your phone, grab it, make sure you're subscribed. We do this show every single day so you don't miss an episode. It's just generally good to have yourself subscribe or else you'll miss stuff. Like this conversation we're about to have with Amari Sankofa from The Athletic. What's going on, man?
Mark, my guy, how's it going, guy?
It's it's going. I started off the day pretty rocky. As we talked about before we get the show, like when you have kids, the problem when you have kids, and I tweeted this earlier, is that when you're sick, then they get sick, and then like another one gets sick, and another one gets sick, and then your wife gets sick, and then by that time it's like a week later, and then you probably get sick again. It's like a never ending vicious, like maybe we have too many kids. Maybe that's the problem. I don't know. Yeah, but anyway,
your youngest is one though, right?
So yes,
so this is pretty much like the worst of it. After maybe a couple of years, it'll begin to mellow out a little bit more.
Exactly. See, the 9-year-old is, we have a 9-year-old, and he is self-sufficient. Like it's fine. Like he can just do things. But the 4-year-old and the 1-year-old, they are not. They have to have us to help them. I mean, obviously we're their parents, so we should help them. But like whatever. I'd like to try to parent as little as possible these days, but whatever. The Grizzlies had a game last night. It was something. It was interesting for sure. The Grizzlies played 10 players and had 5 technical fouls. So that's a new one on me. I haven't seen that in a while. Before we get started, did you get any updates on Jaren's injury last night after the game?
So he's just day to day. Sounds like he just bumped his knee and now his knee is sore. Certainly doesn't sound like anything that involves, like any structural issues in his knee. So, of course he was doubtful going into yesterday's game. I would assume he'll get a little bit better as the week goes on. Kind of hard to say when he'll be back, but it doesn't sound like anything serious, which is good news, obviously.
And Grayson Allen, same thing, just rolled his ankle day to day.
Yeah, well, Grayson, it sounds a little bit more serious. It sounds like he has an ankle sprain, and he was out last night. So there's zero chance of him playing. So I would guess that Grayson's probably going to be out a bit longer than Jaren.
Okay, that Jaren injury, it looked weird. It looked bad when I saw it. And it was on a play that he got back up and played, but. He immediately grabbed his knee, so which was concerning when I saw it live. But nonetheless, they played a game last night against the Rockets. They lost the game. What were your big takeaways or your immediate takeaways from that game last night?
Yeah, I guess one, it was one of the most weirdly officiated games I've seen in a while. There's pretext caught on the Grizzlies in the last 2 minutes, and like just some missed calls. I don't know if the refs just got frustrated at the end and were just like, screw it, we're seeing everybody up or what happened there. But it was definitely odd. I thought that was a game that Jenkins probably should have finally used a challenge flag, which he declined to do, but that was certainly a challenge flag worthy game. And then I guess two, it was yet another night of Ja Morant being the only guy in the Grizzlies uniform who could hit a consistent shot. I think he was 10 of 15, 23.6 assists. He only played 28 minutes, and I don't fully understand the minutes restriction with him because, when you presumably are trying to win games, and you know, you have one guy who is consistently creating his own shot, and this is also the best guy on the team who's creating for others. You know, I'd expect him to play at least 30 a night. I mean, you know, there's a span in the fourth where they sat him for 3 minutes just so that he didn't hit 30 minutes for the night. You know, and at that point, it's like, you know, like, what is this even accomplishing? But, you know, long story short, the same issues are plaguing the Grizzlies. They still can't hit a three. They still don't really have a form of secondary offense. You know, just outside of Ja and Jaren being out obviously hurts that as well. And, you know, we just see the same recurring issues for the team every night. And, you know, you kind of wonder at what point will they begin to figure some of this stuff out.
Yeah, the Ja minutes restriction is weird to me. And I don't understand it either, in the sense that you're not going to learn anything on the bench. Like, sitting there watching people play teaches you nothing. The only way you learn what James Harden's tendencies are when he goes left, or whomever he's guarding. Now, you didn't guard James Harden. I'm just giving him as an example. The only way you learn those things is when he beats you because he went left last time, or he beats you going right, or whatever those little head fakes moves are. You know how you learn those things? You face him. It's the same thing when he played against Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving got him with that head fake early in the game a couple times, got him off his feet. But at the end of the game, guess what? He didn't get him because he'd already seen it a couple times. Like, that's the only way Ja Morant learns here. That's it. I mean, same thing with Jaren Jackson Jr. That's the only way these guys learn, is being on the court in the situations, and once they get burned or get beat or whatever it is, they learn what not to do the next time. That doesn't happen on the bench. Where do you think the minutes restriction is coming from? Is that coaching, management, owner? Where do you think that ends with?
It you know, comes down to, I think, a form of load management, which I think load management is a little bit too strong of a term for what's happening here, because obviously, you know, John isn't injured, and you know, he's not a guy like Kawhi that has like a injury history, and you want to, you know, lighten his load during the regular season. You know, it's not quite that, but Taylor, you know, is basically a believer in keeping guys fresh for 82 games. You know, he does not want guys playing in the mid-30s, you know, especially rookies who have never played 82 games. And as the season goes on, you know, obviously you begin to wear down. A lot of rookies hit, you know, rookie walls around January, February, because, you know, the minutes are beginning to add up. And he's trying to just make it easier for them, which, you know, I think makes sense. But, you know, to a certain extent, you know, I think it starts to appear excessive. When you're subbing, you know, Ja Morant, who, you know, has been one of the best rookies in the NBA so far. And also, I mean, he scored 17 in the fourth a week ago to deliver an overtime win against the Nets. You know, he was the only Grizzly who really got things rolling in the fourth against the Suns late last week. And, of course, they lost, and they subbed Ja out late in the fourth, or I guess early in the fourth. And then, again, like last night, he's the only guy getting a shot, and he subbed him out again. And the Grizzlies lose last night and against the Suns. You know, the coaching staff is basically saying, you know, we would rather, you know, accept a loss, you know, if it means that Ja isn't hitting 30 minutes played per game. And, you know, to me, like, that just seems odd, because it seems like you want to empower your rookie to have a chance to lead you to victory. You know, and it's not like in the grand scheme, like, it's playing 28 minutes or 31 isn't that big a deal. Like, why not let him play most of the fourth quarter, and he's only hitting 31 minutes? You know, we're not talking about RJ Barrett where he's playing 37 every night. You know, we're talking the difference between Ja playing 31 or 28. It just seems excessive. You know, I'm not sure, you know, obviously what metrics they're looking at that says that he should be at about 28 per night. But we are at the point where, you know, Ja's only guy getting a shot, and the Grizzlies don't have him for stretches in the fourth because of this restriction.
Yeah, it's a strange, it's weird. I mean, it really is. Like, if you do the math, if Ja plays 35 minutes a night instead of 30 minutes a night or whatever it is, you're saving him from 11 games. Like, 11 games is what you're really saving your rookie from. I'm just not sure that at the end of the day that's worth it. I don't really know what you accomplish by putting him on the bench, especially, like you mentioned, when not only is Ja been the best source of offense the past couple of games. He's the best. He's been the best player on this team this entire year. Like, hands down, he's the best player, the most consistent player on this team the entire year. And I just don't understand why you would want to limit your best player, even if he is a rookie. I just don't get that. I mean, I know the goal is doesn't matter. Like, winning games is really irrelevant at this point. But you still want, like you mentioned, to put your rookie in a position to where he can lead your team to victory. I mean, he's already shown that he's capable of doing that. And I just think that getting him in those positions to succeed, like you mentioned, is the best long-term value for him. I just don't know. I just think it's very short-sighted to save him from 4, 5, 6 extra minutes a night. If you really want to manage his minutes, let him play 35 minutes a night and take an entire game off every 2 weeks or every 10 days or whatever it is. If that's really what you want to do, then just do that. Like, just give him a good game off whenever there is, you know, 2 or 3 days on each side of the game or something like that, so we can have 4 days off in a row. I mean, would you not think that's a better idea than just cutting his minutes in every night?
Yeah, you know, I certainly would think that would make more sense. Or, you know, I was talking to Peter Evanson about it last night. You know, Peter said, you know, or maybe, you know, if there's a night where you're in the game, you know, the entire game, like the Grizzlies were last night, they only lost by 7, you know, and they really only trailed by double digits a couple of times. You know, they were kind of right there on game. Maybe he plays 36, you know, in a game like that, and then the next game you make a point to, you know, only play him 24, you know, and you find a balance that way.
Right.
You know, on some level, like, most rookies don't play more than 32, 33 minutes a game. You know, but even looking back at last season, you know, I think Luka played the most minutes of any rookie. Well, I don't know about minutes total, but he averaged the most per game. And that was 32. You know, and Luka obviously was a transformational player last year, rookie of the year, and, you know, won Dallas a good amount of games, you know, in those 32 minutes. You know, so we're talking 4 minutes a night, you know, really, that Ja Morant could be playing more than he is now, because now he's at 28. That could make a pretty significant difference, you know, whether that's just a few more minutes in the fourth or, you know, however you call it. You know, we've had 2 straight games where he sat for about 3 minutes in the fourth quarter in a close game, and the Grizzlies fall apart when he's out. You know, we're talking about 3 minutes in the fourth quarter that could make a pretty dramatic difference, and they were still only putting him at 31 minutes for the night. You know, I guess to me, you know, we're at the point where, you know, it's almost like you're over-managing his minutes for the sake of keeping him at this number, rather than just coaching based on the flow of the game and, you know, giving guys a chance to win. So Taylor did say that he, you know, expects that Ja Morant will play more minutes after the season goes on. You know, this isn't something that will last for the duration of the season. But, you know, but Ja's also a guy who averaged 37 a night, you know, last year at Murray State, you know, and Murray State head coach Mac McMahon, you know, pretty much said this is what we have to do to win. And the Grizzlies are in a similar boat, and they don't need to play on 37, obviously, but even just 31, I think, would go a long way toward helping the Grizzlies win a little bit more.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, and 4 minutes can to make a big difference. I know it sounds doesn't sound like guys are talking about, but that makes a big difference, as we've seen with Jonas Valanciunas. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back and talk about this game from the Rockets a little bit more. Welcome back to the show. Talk with Amari Sankofa from The Athletic here on the show. You know, you mentioned the 4 minutes just before we took a break, and it is a big deal. And I thought that's a big deal when you pertain to Jonas Valanciunas. They struggle so much whenever he's not in there. Well, I guess not when he's not there, but when they just don't have the bigs. I mean, you know, last night, Jaren doesn't play. You have to elevate Brandon Clark to the starting lineup, which means you put in Bruno kind of that big position, which I thought he did play better last night. However, I'm not sure he's being put in a good position to succeed against other bigs, you know, like an Anthony, traditional bigs. They played some small lineups last night for the Rockets, so he was able to do more. But I thought Taylor Jenkins managed Jonas's minutes better last night, able to play later in the fourth than he has in the previous games. The previous games, it seems like they just ran him out there for 24 minutes, and then once he hit that, it was done, and didn't matter when that time was. I thought he managed those minutes better. Is there any inclination that you're going to play him even more, or is he kind of stuck at 24 or 25 minutes right now?
You know, kind of like Ja, his minutes will go up as the season goes on. he still isn't quite 100%. You know, he's battling a sore foot, you know, for like the last month, basically. And, I think that was just something that's over from FIBA. You know, he had an active summer, obviously. And, you know, I guess it was just sort of a overuse injury. So I guess the full extent of the soreness of the foot, we don't know. But clearly it's not so sore that he can't play on it.
Yeah.
Grizzlies, you know, as you kind of touched on, could certainly use his minutes in the fourth more often because, you know, he's the best rebounder on the team and another guy who can get his own bucket. But, you know, I guess we're able to be more of an extended process of filling out when he's actually able to go for longer. You know, I really don't know when that will be. But, you know, the Grizzlies will certainly benefit from him playing 30-plus minutes a night because, you know, he does a lot of stuff out there that you're not quite getting from Bruno. And I do think Bruno played well last year, but he's more of a traditional big. And, you know, the game's changing, obviously, but you still need, you know, traditional big man things, whether it's rebounding, whether it's screening, you know, just buckets at the rim. Like JV's doing that at a higher level, so they certainly need that.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that Bruno's I just don't know if he's given the best chance to succeed at the five. Like, I just thought that's just not him. And I just think that you put him out there in a position to where he hasn't played probably much, if at all. Last year he played, you know, obviously primarily as a wing. So, like, you put him out there, and I just don't know if you're putting him in the best position to be effective for you long term. Not that they really have a choice. I mean, there really isn't much of a choice right now, especially when Jaren doesn't play. But do you think he's – I mean, I think he's better served as a wing. I think he's better gives him a better shot as a wing stretch four than that five position that they have been putting him in. What's your thought on Bruno?
You know, so Bruno was actually a little bit more effective as an oversized wing last year than he was as, you know, more of a power forward type. He didn't play a whole lot of center under JV or JB, but, you know, he did play, I think, most of his minutes at power forward. But, yeah, he was best as, you know, small forward, so like a really big four.
Right.
Who could, you know, kind of like overwhelm smaller players on defense. So I think he could play the five for sure. You know, like certainly as a spot-up guy who can stretch the floor. You know, he's a solid rebounder, and, you know, he can redirect some shots too. He has the tools to do it. I just don't know if he's a pure big. I think he's a guy that, you know, you play at the five a little bit depending on who's in, who's out, and the rotation. And you could also play at the four a little bit, or even as a big three. So, you know, I think they're pretty set on Bruno being a big at this point. It sounds like he has been good, you know, in practices playing the five. The minutes haven't really been there for him, you know, outside of last night, obviously, with some guys out. But I think I generally agree that I do like him as a wing more than as a big, even though I do think he could be a good big. It's just will be an adjustment for him, you know, obviously kind of learning the ins and outs of the position and also what he needs to do in this new scheme.
Yeah, I think that's just his best chance to succeed. You know, I don't know. Like you mentioned, banging down low is just not something that he's going to be good in spots, but just long stretches, I just don't know if that's where you want Bruno. And not that it matters. Like I said, I don't know. They don't really have a choice. Like that, it doesn't, there is no other option. You know, nights like last night, there isn't really any other option for the Grizzlies to go to. So it really doesn't matter whether we like him as a wing or whatever, because they have no other real big to even try to use. So let's take one more break. We'll come back and talk the last segment with Amari Senko from The Athletic. Welcome back to the show. Talking with Amari Senko from The Athletic, like we do every single Tuesday of this show. Let's finish up with a couple things. The Grizzlies obviously were awful from three last night, three from 25. I was listening to our guy Peter Edmondson's radio show on Sports 56. You can catch it every single morning. And I just happened to be in the car taking all the kids to school. And he had mentioned that Ja Morant hit three with 26 seconds left in the first quarter and then did not hit another three the rest of the night. I knew that was probably true. I just didn't even – I didn't put, you know, like no one had put it in those terms that I'd heard yet. And I was like, man, that's bad. You know, I don't know how they fix this. I know it doesn't probably matter, but like they have to try to do something, like, you know, other than just changing the roster. I don't really know if the looks are just bad or open or they're just bad shooters.
I think they're just not good shooters. You know, Taylor said last night that guys are not even hitting their career averages.
Right.
You know, which is certainly true. You know, like Jay Crowder is a little bit better of a shooter than he has been. You know, I don't think this is a true representation of how bad the Grizzlies are. You know, but even so, you know, it's a team that's certainly lacking shooting. I mean, they're not getting many attempts up, and they're not hitting them at a very high clip. Actually, they are the worst team in the NBA as far as percentage, hitting 26% of all of their attempts, which obviously is pretty dreadful. I mean, you know, they're worse than a lot of teams that you wouldn't expect to be good shooting teams, like the Knicks, you know, the Magic, you know, Spurs. Like, they're just really, really bad. So, bottom of averages, like, yeah, that's going to tick up as the season goes on. You know, guys like, you know, Grayson, Dillon, Ja, you know, you kind of hope that they figure this out sooner rather than later. But long story short, you know, they just don't have a roster constructed to hit threes at a high clip. And it doesn't really matter how many they attempt. You know, they certainly want to attempt more than they're currently attempting because, you know, I think they're also bottom five in attempts per game. And, you know, I would assume they would at least want to be average in that. But, yeah, this roster just isn't constructed to do that. And, you know, obviously, you know, year one constructing this roster, you know, you're not going to get the types of shooters that you need. But it definitely puts a cap on, you know, the ceiling of this offense, you know, given that Ja's passing to guys who, you know, just can't hit open threes.
Yeah, Josh should have like three or four more assists per game. I mean, like,
yeah,
a lot of players really open. So yeah, it's very strange. So what you're telling me is that it's not going to get any better anytime soon, is what I'm hearing.
No, I don't think it's going to get better anytime soon. I mean, it's not going to stay at 27%.
Sure.
I mean, I think it's just really hard to be that bad for an entire season. But with that said, you know, I don't know if this is even an average shooting team as far as percentage.
The last thing I want to let's talk about is the perimeter defense was also really bad last night. A lot of wide open threes. I mean, there were a lot of threes that James Harden hit with step back threes. They're just, I mean, those are brutal, and there's really nothing you can ever do about those. But how do they get better on ball defending? I mean, I think, you know, starts with that high screen. I think I've talked about it in the show a couple times. Starts with that high screen that, you know, Dillon really struggles with getting around screens, it seems like. I just don't know if they need to run a big, up there to try to prevent that ball handler from getting around it. Because once that breaks down, it seems like obviously everything collapses and breaks down. And once that, once one high screen goes off effectively. But do you see anything they could do differently to get, you know, better defensively with the perimeter on ball defensively, that first high screen?
Yeah, I mean, you know, honestly, I think, you know, this is just another personnel issue. You know, they have guys who, you know, have been strong defenders individually. You know, like in the past, like Dillon Brooks was solid when he was a rookie. You know, Brandon Clark obviously came in with a great reputation at Gonzaga. You know, Jaren, Jay Crowder, Kyle Anderson, you know, Tyus Jones, all guys with, you know, track records of being strong defenders. You know, like, I think one, like, they don't have a lot of kind of like that in-between size, you know? Like, you know, Tyus Jones isn't a guy who's probably going to defend bigger players very effectively. Kyle Anderson, you know, uses his body very well, but he's not the quickest guy. You know, Dillon Brooks is kind of sporadic and everything he does, you know, offensively and like defensively, like in the same game, he'll have stretches where he's, you know, playing well and then he'll kind of lose it for a bit. You know, I don't know if this is, you know, something that comes out of the scheme or just a lack of, you know, like ability on that side of the floor. Right. You know, but I think what we're seeing from top to bottom is that this is just a very new team that's just trying to figure a lot out at the same time. You know, Taylor Jenkins is trying to figure this out. You know, the assistants are figuring this out. All the players are figuring this out. And, you know, and also, you know, like Ja, you know, as good as he is on offense, isn't, you know, really a strong defender at this point either. and he's playing more minutes than any of the guards, you know, outside of Dylan Brooks, who, you know, I already kind of mentioned earlier. Actually, no, I look up about it. John and Dylan are playing around the same amount of minutes per game. Jay actually leads the team, and Jay Crowder really hasn't been that great either, even though he has a reputation of being good on both ends of the floor.
Right.
They could kind of use a Iguodala, you know, to be fair.
If they only had just like him,
they had somebody like him. You know, or maybe this is an opportunity for Josh Jackson as well, you know, who had a reputation as a good defender at Kansas. You know, so I think they have the potential to improve in that end of the floor for sure, and, you know, do a better job against opposing wings. But, you know, but their wing rotation right now is just, it's just bad, you know, and it's just a personnel issue.
Yeah, it's and it's not getting better anytime sooner, like you mentioned. But and that's why I think that Josh Jackson at least deserves a shot. I mean, I know there are stipulations, and I know that it is a thing that they want him to go through to get back to team, and all these things that's internal that we aren't privy to. But you know, at this point, there will be a point in the season that you have to let Josh Jackson get on the court because you have to decide what you want to do with Josh Jackson. And I think it'd be unwise to never put him on the court to at least see what you got. I mean, that's kind of where I land on. I mean, it's not going to be this week, probably won't be, maybe not even next week, but there will be a point where you have to put Josh Jackson on the court, I think, to make a good, solid basketball decision about his future with this franchise. Last thing I'm going to ask you, because I got asked this yesterday, and I'm curious to know your answer, and I wasn't the game last night, so I didn't get a chance to talk to you about it, but I got a Monday mailbag question yesterday on the show about what Taylor Jenkins has done so far and his progress up to this point. I'm curious to know your answer on that. What do you think of Taylor so far?
I mean, I think he's been handed, you know, a tough hand for one. You know, you see sort of, you know, some social media reaction about some late, you know, rotation decisions and this and that they could be doing to try and help the Grizzlies win more. But at the end of the day, you know, teams shooting 26% from three is not going to win that many games. And, you know, and you can't coach more made threes necessarily when, you know, you're down a point guard that's setting up, you know, some pretty open looks for guys. You know, I think there's an inherent, you know, ceiling to this team that, you know, Jenkins won't be able to overcome just because he doesn't necessarily have guys who can execute his scheme, you know, the way that he would like. With that said, you know, like, there is some stuff that is in his control. And, you know, I think it's tough to review right now because, you know, you kind of have both things at once, right? Like, yeah, there's things he could do better, but, you know, there's also just some roster shortcomings he can't do anything about. But, you know, but he should be playing Ja more. You know, I know Brennan Clark's been dealing with a sore back, but if he could play more, he could probably play a little bit more. Just because it's a rebuilding year and those are two of your best guys already. And last night they were the two best guys. So, you know, regardless of your approach with load management and whatnot, you know, you also have to realize, you know, you got to try to win games, you know, and those guys will give you a chance to win. But it's really hard to nitpick them at this point, you know, just because you look at this team, you look at, you know, the injuries that they've had, you know, now you don't have Jaren for who knows how long. You know, I don't know, you know, if Eric Spoelstra could do anything with this roster. I don't know if, you know, Pop could do anything with this roster. Like, you know, it's just a tough spot, you know, especially for a coach that is in their first 2 weeks of, you know, like actually coaching NBA games. So there's just some inherent weaknesses here that I think will take time to iron out. Yeah, you know, and maybe around December, maybe around January, we'll have a better sense of who Taylor Jenkins actually is as a head coach.
I will say this about Taylor Jenkins, and something I didn't expect coming into the season, is that they've been in the game most games. Like, there have been a lot of fourth quarter problems and some other issues, and mainly a lot of shooting issues. I mean, that has been the crux of losing games, really just making shots. And they've been in a lot more games than I thought they would. I will say that about Taylor Jenkins. And if you want to hear my full answer on that Monday mailbag question, go just listen to yesterday's show and that third segment. Every single week we do our Monday mailbag where you can send in your questions and I'll answer them. If you're not already subscribed to the show, please go do so in whatever podcast platform you use. If you're not already subscribed to The Athletic, go do so as well. It's not much money at all. Peter Edmondson over there, Amari Sinkofa over there, both doing a great job covering the Grizzlies. Amari, I appreciate it. Let's do it again next week.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.